What a weird, weird tax year, man. I don't even know what's going on. Let's talk to somebody smart about this. It's Armstrong and Getty Extra Large.
Because 4 hours simply isn't enough. This is Armstrong and Getty Extra Large.
So 2 years in a row, because of the pandemic, the government said, nah, tax day's not April 15th. We're putting it off. And this year they're putting it off till, what is it? Is it May 15th or May 17th?
May 15th falls on a weekend, so May 17th, I believe, is the official deadline.
Okay.
But let's delve into that question much more with longtime friend of the Armstrong and Getty Show, tax attorney, CPA, Stephen Moskowitz. Stephen, how are you, sir?
Great and happy, because you know how much I love talking about taxes, and thanks so much for inviting me.
Oh, sure. You're a man who loves what he does, which is great.
What do you think's going to be the biggest, like, I don't know, mistake or problem that people run into with not so much the moving of the tax date, but just this whole crazy year that was 2020?
The government is giving away so much that my biggest concern for people is they're going to miss out on all types of benefit, because most of the things you have to ask for them to get them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That would be a crying shame.
Yeah, well, I need to pay attention. I got pencil in hand. What can I get?
Well, all kinds of things. First of all, a lot of people have said, hey, they didn't get their rebate money. What's going on? No problem. You can claim it on your tax return on the 1040, line 30. You go ahead and claim what you didn't get, and that's how you get it back. And another thing is, a lot of people will say, hey, when's my money coming? What's going on here? The IRS has a mobile app. It's IRS2Go. It's IRS, the number 2, go, and you can check your refund status on that.
Really?
You can really. And you can also get free tax preparation assistance. So basically, in these laws, there's something for everybody. There's people that are lower income, people that are higher income, all kinds of things. And some common things we'll take a look at is like the required minimum distribution out of pension plans, because if you don't do that, there's a big excise penalty. However, the government raised the age from 70 and a half to 72. And then they said, you know what, for 2020, just forget about it. So you don't have to go ahead and take the distribution in 2020. There'll be no penalty. Then also with retirement plans, you can take out $5,000 to help you with the expenses of having a baby or adopting a child, which I think is a beautiful thing. And another thing is, you know, the government went ahead and waived the penalty for people under 59 and a half to take up to $100,000 out of their accounts. So this is terrific. There's no penalty. That's wonderful.
Out of their 401k, do you mean?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that. I mean, I'm not going to do it, but you can take up to $100,000 out of your 401k without a penalty.
Yes.
Okay.
However, you have to go ahead and pay tax on it, but you have the option to go ahead and say, well, wait a minute, instead of putting the whole $100,000 in my tax return, I only want to do one-third. So I put one-third. I have 3 years to put one-third. And then it used to be you had to get the money back in 60 days, but now they gave you 3 years to get the money back. And if you put the money back within 3 years, no tax. So you'd have to file an amended return, get your money back, and you'd use Form 8915E for that. Also, if you had to make repayments on a retirement plan, they let you delay it for 2020. You don't have to do that.
You know, and I was going to put the whole $100,000 on Dogecoin, so I should have plenty of money to pay the government back.
Are you planning on and paying for that with your next space flight?
Yes.
That's what they're doing now to make up for what he said on Saturday Night Live.
So a lot of people worked from home through all of 2020, like almost the entire year. And so their bedroom was their office. Are there things that they can do, like home office deductions and stuff, that they don't normally do?
Most people don't qualify for home office. However, there's a provision in the tax law where if your employer gives you money to go ahead and facilitate setting up that setup, the employer still gets the tax deduction, but it's not income to you. So what you should do is talk to the employer and say, look, you know, here's what I spent, and you should go ahead and correct my W-2, and everybody's better off, because the employer still gets the tax deduction, but the employee doesn't report it as income, which is better than deducting it.
But so merely sitting at a desk in my bedroom, even though I worked there every single day and that's how I made my living with my laptop, that's not good enough to call that a home office, huh?
You'd have to qualify for home office. So the first thing is, when you said bedroom, with home office, there's a different rule. You have to use the portion of the house exclusively for business. Almost anything else, say like a car, if you use it 80% for business, you get an 80% deduction. If you used your home office 99% for an office and 1% for a bedroom, you get zero. That's one of the problems.
Wow.
Another problem.
Wow, that's interesting. See, it's got to have a special room. And I don't know how
Uncle Jim comes over and stays the night, you're dead.
Or if I practice my guitar in there on the weekends.
It doesn't have to be a special room, but it has to be exclusively used for the business. And there's another problem if you do it. If you go ahead and take home office, and some people qualify for it, you convert a portion of your house from principal residence to business property, and then when you sell it, you don't get the forgiveness benefits. So that's why I tell clients, if you're going to do that, you think twice. Plus, that's a very high audit area. So there's a lot of things involved. Again, I'm not saying not do it, but if you qualify, think about that change in that portion of your home. That's why you might want to talk to the employer first and have them switch that portion to non-taxable.
Boy, that seems crazy to me, especially, you know, given the modern circumstance. But consult your tax attorney.
If you want crazy, there's a whole Internal Revenue Code. I'll give you crazy.
Yeah, I know it. So what are they cracking down on, especially? You mentioned the home office thing is an
Bitcoin
audit trigger.
Yeah, and maybe with that
Bitcoin
question, where are we? Because you've talked to us over the years about how the pendulum swings back and forth from, like, you know, auditing people. Are we in a we're going after people hard period? And then and yes or no. And then what are they cracking down on, like Joe said?
Well, number one, you see that the spirit has changed because, as far as the IRS is concerned, for people, COVID's over, back to business. They went back to their grabbing your passport if you don't pay your taxes. And with crypto, that's their big, big focus now. They're looking at crypto. And we've talked on your show about their Operation Hidden Treasure. They're going after people civilly and criminally. And they got a lot of information when they issued the summons to Coinbase. And there's a lot of information they get with the blockchain. And a lot of people think, oh, crypto is secret. It's not. There's good records. And the IRS has them, and they've got them. And then it's a question of, well, wait a minute, how is this taxed? Is it short-term or long-term capital gain? Are you using a foreign exchange? Oh, you are. Then you have the foreign rules, the FBARs that we've talked about, and the other foreign reporting.
So I don't have crypto, but I'm interested in this. So if I invested $1,000 in Dogecoin, 6 months ago, and it's now worth $400,000. Do I have to take it out of and turn it into what I call real money to get taxed on it? Or if does just that increase in the imaginary world of crypto, is that enough to have to pay taxes on it?
Just the imaginary increase is not taxable.
Okay.
But what a lot of people miss is you go ahead and you go to the grocery store and you say, you know what, I think they accept crypto here and I'm going to pay for it. The minute you use the coin, then they say, aha, you have a taxable transaction. Then it's, is it short term? Is it long term? Is it ordinary income? Hmm. And you get into all that.
Wow.
Not to mention, did you convert it from something else? And then, you know, did you do mining? Did you do an airdrop? There's hard forks, soft forks, all kinds of stuff they get into.
You add the complexity of the tax code to my knowledge of crypto, and I get into a pretty difficult situation fast.
Yeah. Stephen, you've always been a great defender of small business people. You always have good advice for those with a few employees. What are you seeing a lot of now? What should they beware of, or what should they be seeking?
Well, one of the things is you should go ahead and look at the employee retention credit. Because with this, for 2020, if you otherwise qualify, the government is giving you $5,000 per year per employee. But for 2021, they upped it from $5,000 to $28,000 per employee. So, for example, if you had 10 employees, the government would give you $280,000. And you say, well, wait a minute, for the payroll taxes I've already paid in, what do I have to do? Well, I'd have to file an amended return, a 940X. But they're even doing better than that. They're saying, well, rather than paying the money in and then getting a check back, there's another form you can use, a form 7200. And with the 7200, you say, you know, IRS, let's make up a number. You know, I'm due $100,000 here with my employee retention credit, and I would normally have to write you a check here for 30, so I'm just going to go ahead and write you a check for zero, and you write me a check for 70. And one of the things we've done, he said, this is terrific. How do I qualify? In our firm, we created a free work paper, and this can tell you, are you going to qualify for this or not? And because you were so kind in inviting me on your podcast, if any of your listeners are interested, we'll just email that out to them. They can figure out, hey, am I entitled to all this money or not?
Cool. Hey, Stephen, you've been doing this a long time. Over the years you've been doing taxes, where is the aggressiveness of the IRS right now? I mean, when was the most aggressive time and where does this rank?
That's changing because they go up and down, and they've gotten a lot more aggressive because, number one, they hired an additional 200 criminal agents. They trained them, and what we're seeing now in the trenches, a lot more criminal cases popping up. And President Biden just announced that he wants to give the IRS another $80 billion with a B for enforcement. Now, when you turn over $80 billion, he's going to expect to see results. Well, how do you get results? What that means is the IRS is always complaining that there's so many people not complying with the tax law. They just can't get all of them. Well, with the extra $80 billion and the extra criminal agents, there's an awful lot of people they just didn't have time for before they're going to go get now. So I expected to get very aggressive. That $80 billion was not the old days kinder or gentler. That 80, because President Biden said basically he expects a 10% return on the money. So he's looking to raise over $800 billion from the $80 billion he's given them. And if you're going to get $800 billion from taxpayers, that's going to be a lot of aggression.
So, Stephen, last question for me anyway, and you touched on this a little bit, but who gets audited these days?
The answer is it depends. The number one way to get audited is through a computer program called DIF, D-I-S, Discriminant Income Function. And that takes 66 different categories, and they look at things. But to give you an idea, as you go up in income, you increase your chances of being audited. Ironically, if you have a real small income, that increases your chance of being audited too, because the government says, hey, you must be a part of the cash underground economy. Another thing that they do is they say, well, how do your deductions compare to the overall deductions for the country? The more you stray, the more they're interested in you. Then who do you do business with? And if they're being audited, they might audit you. Another one is if the person that prepares your tax return is in the problem preparers program, where the IRS thinks, hey, that firm or that person is preparing bad tax returns, they audit you just because that preparer did your return. So there's lots of ways to get audited.
Well, that's interesting. So you don't really want to do business with people that you think might be the kind of people that get audited, because then you get audited. Interesting.
Yeah. Huh. So, Stephen, if people want the one thing you referred to or more information, I believe the website is MoskowitzLLP.com. Is that correct?
Yes, MoskowitzLLP.com. Or you can call us at 888-TAX-DEAL. That's 888-TAXDEAL, 888-TAX-DEAL. And what I would say is we have barely scratched the surface of so many things. The government's just given away the money. As a little teaser, there's a vehicle you can buy now that the government will give you up to $40,000 credit for it. There's an investment that you can make that the government will give you 39% credit on it. They're giving you back your money, not to mention employing certain people like veterans. They'll give you back a credit. The deduction for restaurants now used to be 50%. Now it's you get 100% deduction. There's just, it goes on and on and on and on. You know, if you limited me to just 15 hours, I'd still have to pare it down.
Well, I memorized the phone number years ago because I assume, Stephen, I'll be calling you from jail at some point in my life. 1-888-TAX-DEAL.
You're not going to jail.
Stephen Moskowitz, thanks for your time today.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Extra large.